everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. So again, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, there's a popular saying in Christian circles, and I think most of us have probably said it or used it at some point in our Christian lives. It's this: we are in the world, but not of the world. The world, but not of the world. Now, that particular sentence, that particular phrase, you don't really find that in the Word of God, but it certainly summarizes what we see in the New Testament, particularly in John 17. So in Jesus' high priestly prayer, it's right before he's about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and be handed over to Roman soldiers, arrested and tried and all of that. He stops and prays this high priestly prayer. And he's praying for himself, he's praying for his disciples, and then he's praying for all those who will believe.
Right.
And in the middle of the prayer, he's specifically praying for his disciples. And he says this: I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. So Jesus was not of the world. He was from above. He came down from above. He was not like us. I mean, in the sense that he had a fallen nature or any of that. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. He came into this world perfect as a human being. And he was not of the world, and he lived in total dependence upon his Father. And he delivered truth. That's why he came into this world, to make the truth of God the Father known to people. And he made it known to a specific group, those 12 disciples, then there were 72, then there was 120, and of course there were masses that followed. But these folks really got the truth up close and personal. And that word made them separate from the world. So the Word of God separated these disciples from the world, to the point that Jesus said, they're no longer a part of the world, just as I am not a part of this world. Then he goes on to say, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So in this world, there's the evil one. We need protection. So his prayer was for his disciples to be protected. And as you project that out, that prayer is for us as well. And then, they are not of the world, as even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So here's our word again, sanctified.
Yes.
So how were the disciples sanctified? By the truth. And what is the truth? The Word of God is the truth. So Jesus was saying that this Word of God had set them apart from the world system. And we all come into this world in bondage to that system. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can set us apart from that and put us on a new track, a new trajectory as far as life is concerned. That's what happened to those disciples, and then they were sent back into the world to be voices for that truth.
Yeah.
So they were sent into this world, they were sanctified, set apart from the world, and then sent back into the world to be preachers and proclaimers of the truth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful passage. It really is.
That prayer of Jesus in John 17, that moves me beyond any measure.
Oh, my, it sure does.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. We have plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We want to hear from you. We want you to join the conversation, pose your question or your topic of discussion. Again, that number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is, why does God give Satan so much power? And is it true that he can disguise himself as an angel of light?
Well, it is true that he can disguise himself as an angel of light. He certainly did that in the garden. Adam and Eve were not afraid of Satan. They didn't think anything about him, that he was dangerous. They sat and listened to him. They had a conversation. Eve had a conversation with him, and they believed what he said. So certainly he works through the paradigm of deception. That's why he's in this world. That's his purpose in this world, to try to deceive us, to keep us from believing the truth. So why does he have so much power? Well, God created him. God created him as a very high angel. And so in that creation, he was powerful, and he chose to rebel against God. And in so doing, now he uses the power that God created him with against God, to try to deceive us into believing lies, to believing errors, to declaring our independence from God, just as Adam and Eve did. So God created him with that power, but he's not more powerful than God. He's not even on a close to equal level with God. As a matter of fact, we see in the end, in the book of Revelation, Satan mounts this final charge and gathers up all these armies, and Jesus shows up and he speaks, and it's done. It's over with. So Satan is just, as Richard would say, just a bug on God's windshield. That's about as much power as he has as far as God is concerned. So it's not a yin and a yang, as so many people have tried to position it. Satan is an evil force, but his power pales in comparison to the power of God. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. But what does paradigm mean?
It just means a system. It's if you have a pair of dimes, it's 20 cents. It's just,
I'm laughing,
it's,
but I don't really get that.
No, a paradigm is just kind of a system, a way things work. And when we come to Christ, our paradigm shifts. We are given a whole new way of life, aren't we? We were once bound up in the world system. Now we've been set free from that. We have been raised to walk in the newness of life. So we have something brand new. And sometimes that's why it's difficult, because we're so familiar with that old. It's hard to figure out the new. But God never gives up on us. His grace never leaves us. His Holy Spirit is always there teaching us and conforming our minds and conforming us into the image of Christ Jesus. So that's the good news. But one more point about Satan. We, a lot of times, give him too much power ourselves.
Yeah.
We think he knows us inside and out. We think he knows our most intimate thoughts and those sort of things. I don't believe that's the case. I think Satan knows some general facts about humanity. He knows that we are vulnerable. He knows that we can be weak. He knows a little bit of the nature of our flesh. So he uses that information to his advantage. So he knows that we can be tempted. He doesn't know exactly what's going to tempt us the most, where our weakest point is. So what he does is he keeps throwing out different bait. So he might throw out some worms, and we don't bite on the worm, so he changes to spinner bait, and we don't bite on that. Now he's got something else, and he keeps throwing stuff at us until we finally bite. So what Satan knows about us is that, you know, eventually we're probably going to bite on some lie, some deception he's going to throw our way, some temptation. So he just keeps throwing those at us. So if we keep our focus on Christ and on the truth, that truth will help us discern his lies and his deceptive tactics, and will enable us to stand solidly on the rock of Christ.
Mary Jo, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. And we have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Time is running out to receive your copy of Bob Christopher's CD series, Against the Current. Speaking, of course, of the currents of world philosophy and tradition, those things that Satan uses very, very well, as a matter of fact. This offer expires May 31st, so time is running short. Be sure to make your gift of $20 or more today. Simply click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net, or phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Again, that number is our order line, 844-412-2742.
Whenever you talk about that series, I always think of the verse back in, I think, 2 John, where John writes, it gives me great joy to know that my children are walking in truth. And that's what this series is all about. It's a series that will empower you to walk in the truth, the simple truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And walking in that truth is the very thing that sets you apart from the world. You've been sanctified, but as you walk in that truth, that sanctification is lived out through you. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So yeah, certainly encourage you to contribute to Basic Gospel and request a copy of this particular CD series. I think it's one of the best that we've done, and really recommend it highly to you. It will be a great encouragement in your walk with Christ Jesus.
The CD series, Against the Current, yours for a gift of $20 or more this month by the 31st of this month. Click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or again, that phone number, 844-412-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Joyce, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just was wondering, because of something you said, and I'm a believer, and this isn't going to change my thought process, but I was just a little curious how I would answer a question if somebody else had this same thought, which is if Jesus was born of Mary and Mary was born into sinful nature, what does that mean as far as, you know, I understand the purity of him being the Son of God, but what about the Mary portion and the human nature?
Well, I think the answer to the Mary portion is the fact that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. In essence, Mary's was a borrowed womb. So she had Christ inside of her and delivered him into this world, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. And that's really all the scripture tells us, isn't it?
It is. I guess part of me is wondering if, you know, how husband and wife, how the husband is supposed to be the spiritual umbrella for the woman. And so it almost made me wonder if, you know, if not having the male, if the female, it gave a covering kind of parallel with that somehow. Somehow the male carries such a heavier load, I guess I should say, and I wondered if that somehow played into it.
Well, Joyce, I would say, you know, since Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, there were certainly, you know, God the Father and the Holy Spirit involved as far as Mary was concerned. It was God that reached out to her and said, you know, I find favor in you above all other women, and made the pronouncement that you were going to bear a child. And then with Joseph, you know, Joseph was perplexed about that whole situation. He didn't know what to do. He didn't want to disgrace Mary, but he didn't want to stay in the marriage. He was going to divorce her quietly, as it's recorded in the New Testament. Yet God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream and said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the baby that she is carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you are to give him the name Jesus, for he is going to save his people from their sins. And then it goes on to say that he is Emmanuel, God with us. So we see the protective nature, the covering that God had over Mary, over Joseph, over the birth of Jesus, and how that maintained throughout his life. So and with Mary as well. You see at the very end, Jesus is on the cross. He looks to the disciple John and said, "Behold your mom." And so John took care of her the rest of her life. So we see God's protective hand over Mary kind of from start to finish, don't we?
Yes, but, okay, thank you.
Okay, Joyce. I don't know if I answered your question or even understood exactly what your question was, but I hope that is helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Joyce.
Yeah, just a quick reminder, friends, that we have a gift for you when you sign up for ministry emails. It's our ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, a powerful resource that can set you on the path of joy and freedom in Christ. By signing up, you'll be kept up to date on ministry events, the daily broadcast, and announcements of new resources as they become available. To sign up, simply click subscribe at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk to Mario, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mario.
God bless you guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you as well. What's on your mind today?
I saw your program there in the beginning, and you were talking about living in this world but not being part of this world. And I had once heard a pastor say, I'm not sure who it was. It was quite a bit ago. But he explained that it's like a fish living in the ocean. Because when you take that fish out of the water and you're going to cook it, you still have that salt to it, which would make no sense because he lives in a place where salt is very abundant. But yet when he comes out of that ocean, there is no salt in it. So he kind of explained it that way, how we should be living our Christian life.
Salt and light in this world of darkness. That's what the Word of God sets us apart to be. And I think that's really the heart and soul of Jesus' prayer there in John 17. He had these disciples. They had been set apart by the Word of God. Jesus had delivered the Word, the truth to them. They were no longer a part of the world. And now he was going to send them back into the world to be salt and light, to be a ray of hope as they reflected the glory of God and brought the truth of God to willing and listening hearts. So, Mario, good words today. Thank you. Well, let's... I wanted to answer an email that we got based on yesterday's conversation, and then we'll go to Doreen later on. But this was from a person that was listening to us on oneplace.com, and he said, on your broadcast of May 25th, you give the impression that as a believer in Christ, we don't get punished for our sins in our present life. Well, I not only gave an impression of that, I said it just outright.
That's truth.
That is truth. Jesus Christ took the punishment for our sins. So if we believe that there's more punishment for us, then what we're saying is that Jesus only took a portion of the punishment, that his death only satisfied a portion of God's wrath on our behalf. But we know that's not true. Jesus died in our place. He took the full weight, the full measure of God's wrath so that we could be set free. So as a believer, our sins they were punished. It's not that they will never be punished. They were punished.
Have been.
It's have been. It's a past tense done deal. So we need to get that right. I mean, there's no greater truth than that, than the fact that Jesus died in our place for our sins so that we could be set free. Now, it goes on to talk about the fact that, the Lord's discipline, and he tries to relate the Lord's discipline or equate the Lord's discipline with punishment. And then he goes on to talk about the consequences of sin. Well, discipline, as we talked about yesterday, is not punishment. Discipline is for our benefit, for our good, to produce a harvest of righteousness. Athletes discipline themselves Why? Because so they can execute the fundamentals of the game under the pressures of going against a fierce component. Well, opponent. Well, we live in a world where there's a lot of pressures, and we need to know the truth. We need to know exactly what this gospel is. We need to know what it means to walk by faith. We need to know the reality of Christ in us, our hope of glory. And God disciplines us so that we learn those things, so that we learn to rest in his finished work. We learn to trust the resurrected Christ. Mm-hmm. We learn all those things. And the fruit of that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and all of those things sure. that Paul lists in Galatians chapter 5. And so that's God's purpose in our lives as his children. He wants us to be able to take hold of this abundant life and live it to the full. So he's always teaching us how to do that and moving us down that road so that we can experience more and more of who he is in this present world.
Right.
So that's not punishment. That's a completely different thing. Our punishment went upon Jesus. Every single sin that we've ever committed or will commit mm-hmm. has already been punished. It's already been dragged into God's court. It's already been found to be guilty in yeah. violation of the law. The sentence has already been given. The wages of sin is death. Jesus stood in our place and took it. And if you don't believe that, you're going to struggle with your Christian life for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
If you want the grace of God to open up to you, if you want the abundant life to open up to you, you better settle the sin issue.
You
better come to grips with the fact that Jesus took every one of your sins and the punishment has been dealt out.
Right.
Period. End of story.
End of story.
So I don't want somebody to write to me and says, it seems like you gave the impression. I'm not giving you the impression. I'm just saying it for what it is.
Yeah.
This is what it is. Now, in our judicial system, you know, somebody may be found guilty and then they're pardoned. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody may issue a pardon. Well, what that means is that their sin, their crime was not punished. They were not punished for their crime. They have been let off the hook.
Yeah.
God doesn't work that way. He doesn't let people off the hook. That's why he sent Jesus, and Jesus died in our stead so that we can say, my sin, all of it, has been punished once and for all.
Yeah.
Now, are there consequences when we choose to sin today? Sure. Yes. Sin has consequences built into it.
Yeah.
So if somebody chooses to commit adultery, there's going to be dire consequences from that choice. A hurt spouse, a broken marriage, a torn up family. Those are all the consequences of sin. That's not God's punishment. That's just built into sin itself. If we lie, we're gonna reap some consequences of that. But again, that's not God's punishment.
Right.
So we have to come to grips, folks, with the fact that our sins have been punished once and for all, and that means we can stand before God as forgiven people. And that is the good news of the gospel.
And that is good news. And Doreen, sorry we didn't get to your call, but I thought the message was worth it. It was
yes,
very,
indeed.
Very good. Well, February 7th through the 18th are the dates of our visit to Israel, and we have arranged for a visit that you will never forget. Imagine the panorama of biblical history, stories you've read and places you've read about all your Christian life coming alive before your eyes. The Jezreel Valley, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Jordan River, Caesarea Philippi, the Dead Sea, Qumran, site of the Dead Sea Scrolls discovery. As the great pastor S.M. Lockage would say, I wish I could tell you about it. Bethlehem, the Shepherd's Fields, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, on and on and on. So much to see, so much to experience. Israel with Basic Gospel this February. Click events at basicgospel.net for all the information. Information and a registration form are available there under the events tab at basicgospel.net. Hope you'll take advantage of it. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with an invitation to join us again tomorrow for another study edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.